It is a state capitol report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is projected to become warmer and wetter due to climate change, triggering a cycle of flooding, property damage, and rebuilding. A bill headed to the governor's desk aims to tackle root causes of flood-prone areas. Call in with a question. You can share thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Republican Representative Lauren Oldenburg of Viroqua represents the 96th District, including Westby and Prairie du Chien, along the Mississippi River. Representative Oldenburg, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me, and glad to be here on this beautiful winter morning, but it feels more like spring to me.
Yeah, yes, it does. Well, let's look at this Senate Bill 222, placing the measure to Governor Evers' desk. The bill would establish two types of grants to help flood-prone communities. You sponsored this bill and call it a monumental change. How do you envision the grants would help communities?
Well, this bill got started about 2.5-3 years ago, meeting with the heads of agencies, and especially working with the Town Association, Trout Unlimited, and a Wetland Association, came up this idea of to look at issues that happen on flooding on a consistent basis. So my idea how it's going to be used, to say if you have a bridge or a culvert that keeps getting washed out on these 100-year flood issues events, that, okay, what do we need to keep that road or keep that water crossing in place at these events? And so the first half of that grant, it's split in two ways, would to study the situation, maybe an H&H study, what causing the water to flow in a different area and stuff like that. And the second half of that grant would actually go in and fix those issues. And this program goes through the Wisconsin Emergency Management, does not go through the DNR. And that's kind of the idea we had behind here. It's like, save money in the long term. And that's why we created this bill. I don't believe it's being done throughout the country. Great idea, I thought. And also Wisconsin Emergency Management will actually, I heard that they'd be able to leverage some maybe federal funds through this program also to these high prone flooding events and try to save money in the long term.
As you study the situation through this legislation, there's inventory work I read. You know, why does a culvert inventory need to be done?
Well, I've heard the extreme numbers of how many water crossings and culverts we have. With these events, the culverts might not be large enough, might not be long enough to take some of these rain events, and that's why we have washouts. So we need that inventory and see what's out there. So we know as legislators that what kind of dollars are we really talking about at these crossings, and maybe some of these crossings aren't needed as much as before. So we're trying to look at these valleys and these coulees and where the water runs at a big picture, so that we know what to do in the future and try to do it once and do it correctly.
The Wisconsin Wetlands Association said you gathered a group of organizations and agencies to advise ways to help rural flood-prone communities. What did you learn from this approach, this process to crafting legislation?
Yeah, this idea all started down at Timber Cooley. We met with when the bridge was washed out, I believe it was in 19, the Butman area. And I brought in the DOT, DNR, and the local officials. And from there, I facilitated a meeting down in Madison and brought in County Association, Town Association, DNR, DOT, Wetlands, Trout Unlimited, and there's a couple other ones too. And found out in the process, the agencies aren't talking to each other, especially the DOT and DNR. And that's where, and I guess, you know, I had a couple meetings with them and I said, and they've continued that discussion. So especially the DNR and DOT need to talk on, especially on these water crossings, that what's really going on here. And that's what I found out about that process when we got together, that there's not a lot. they weren't calling the phone, picking up the phone and calling each other. And I think that's where this idea and what I learned out of that when we got together, that there's got to be better communications among agencies, and especially on these flooding events.
Would this legislation help patch up that communication, any communication breakdowns between the State Transportation Department and the State Department of Natural Resources?
It could. I don't know. I think this bill actually goes with maybe toward to the towns and counties and the local municipalities where these flood events goes, because that's who's actually going to be applying for these grants, and to that communication's going on. And then when the study process, the roads, the engineering part of it, or what it takes to improve a water crossing, I think there's going to be have to be some communication how when they design a plan to implement this. So I hope the communication goes on no matter if this bill's in place or not.
We're talking about a bill headed to the governor's desk that aims to help flood-prone communities. We have State Representative Lauren Oldenburg, Republican from Viroqua, sponsor of the bill. You can join in with questions and comments along the way. 800-642-1234. Representative, the measure would allow local governments to apply for grants that are capped at $300,000 per project for the purpose of gathering information to assess flooding vulnerabilities. What information would these governments be seeking through this piece of the grant?
Well, that's each grant application is going to be different because every crossing is different. So the biggest thing is when you apply for these grants and then do the study, any time, which I've learned through the process, if you make a bridge bigger or smaller, or a culvert bigger or smaller, affects everything downstream. And so you have to do a H&H study, which is very expensive. Counties and towns cannot afford that. So the idea of this is put money in there that, hey, that deterred a lot of these studies before. So, hey, they got some dollars here to actually implement that study and get it started. And a lot of these municipalities will be able to do some in-kind for like labor and machinery work too to help set off their cost for these grants also.
And H&H study is the study of the movement of water. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah.
And effects it has.
And the effects. So as you look at those effects, what types of projects are important to reduce flooding?
Well, the idea is not so much reduce flooding kind of goes to my farmland preservation bill is actually keep soil and water on the upper lands stuff. The main idea of this bill is actually the infrastructure of the road or the crossing, so it does not get washed out on every flood, the same floods or the same road, same culvert, same bridge getting washed out every time. We have to fix that. So some of this could be, affecting the wetlands above it, maybe restoring some of that wetlands. Maybe the creek or the has moved, so it's not hitting the center of the culvert or center of the bridge anymore. Some of those ideas. So that's where the communication with the DOT and the DNR have to be working together in this, say, hey, how can we fix this so it does not keep washing out? And so yeah, it affects it. I think we'll reduce flooding, especially if we work on the wetlands above these washouts or these washout areas that are prone for it. So hopefully slows the water down, but a lot of that flooding has to be done maybe up on the land. Reduce the flooding is through keeping the water and the soil on the upper lands.
Do you think wetlands are a natural solution to flooding?
That's what they're created for. I mean, that's the idea. So we have excess water, so they have a place to go, and that's the ultimate way. When we look through these valleys and stuff, that water always runs downhill. So it's like, okay, how can we slow the slow the speed of the water? And when you have a 100-year flood, I truly believe you're not going to slow that water down much. So you have to slow it before it gets to the valley.
Lawmakers had set aside $2 million in the current state budget for a similar type of program. Would this amount of funding be enough to meet the demands from local communities to assess and reduce flood risk?
I don't say it probably is not enough, but hopefully when talking with putting this bill together with the Wisconsin Emergency Management, that, you know, they thought like leveraging some federal funds through this program. We got the language down now. That's the big key part of it. You know, so they have the language, how it works. They create the grant program. So in going forward, the idea is, you know, I had to get my rest of my colleagues on board here. So we went for a number that we thought they would approve, and which they did. They put it in the budget, and the budget got signed. But going forward, every legislation, we will have to come back and ask for that dollars in the budget. So that's the idea, to get these programs out there, see if it's working, gather the data, and see what the best results we get for our money.
You have aligned to Republican Representative Lauren Oldenburg of Viroqua District on the western border of the state. Call in with the question. You can share your views at 800-642-1234. It is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss legislation moving through the Capitol and policy initiatives with Representative Lauren Oldenburg of Viroqua District in southwestern Wisconsin, sharing a border with the Mississippi River. Call in with a question. You can add your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You are the author of a bill that would make some changes to apprenticeship programs in Wisconsin, and the changes would include forming a $500 apprenticeship tax credit and expanding programs eligible for incentive grants and completion awards. Why make these changes to apprenticeship programs?
Well, the idea is, you know, we put this bill, similar bill, toward the last session and toward the end, and didn't get it through. So we came back this year, worked with the people that would affect, especially the trades. And the idea of it is to get more and more young individuals into the trade profession. So some of the hiccups, you know, and some of the roadblocks that we have out there in the youth apprenticeship and the registered apprenticeship is the cost. You know, through this bill, we give a tax incentive or a rebate back to them to maybe offset that initial cost, because there are some costs to going into these trades through clothing, shoes, tools, and stuff like that to maybe deter some people to actually go into trades. So we thought this was a good idea to actually maybe take some of those barriers away for individuals going into the trades.
And your bill would create a youth apprenticeship completion award that can offer up to $1,000. The program, though, would only be available for youth apprenticeships in architecture and construction. Why limit a program to those two fields?
Well, we got to start somewhere. So hopefully, if it goes well in those two areas, we can come back and expand that to other areas. But that's, I think, the reason those two areas is, I think we are finding they are more cost inhibitive as far as be able to individuals go in there, because it does cost individuals, you know, clothing, tools, and stuff to go in those trades, a little bit more expensive than, say, a CNA or someone or in the finance end of it, because of you don't have to have a lot of extra cost to as far as tools and clothes to go into those positions. So hopefully it goes well. If we get the bill passed and signed, then we can come back and maybe expand it into other areas.
You know, after the governor's recent State of the State address, you talked about appreciating Governor Tony Evers announcing new nurse and teachers apprenticeship programs. How else could lawmakers help to further destigmatize the trades?
You know, I think it's naturally doing that because of the cost of higher education and the wages that some of these trades are getting now coming out of, you know, you go to youth apprenticeship, registered apprenticeship, then going to maybe a tech college to get that trade or go to work and they send you back. You know, by the time most individuals getting out of a college at 22, 23, 24 years old with a high debt, and these individuals already been in the workforce for 2 to 3 years, very little or if no debt, and making very good money for, especially in Wisconsin, especially rural areas. And they realize, wow, I mean, they're part of society, part of the already, they're, you know, buying homes, they're buying vehicles. And so I think it's already doing it on their own. I don't think it has to be us to change the what people look at trades. But I think that's has happened on their own because of the cost of higher education is getting so expensive that it makes it very attractive for young people to go into the trades.
Given those factors, given that type of climate, do you feel like the governor might have a different assessment this time with the legislation?
I think it's more, I don't know if the governor would have it. I think, you know, some people in, you know, our caucus and the Senate caucus maybe has some issues with some unions, some tech college has some issues with a little bit. We'll see. It's hard to say. I think there's a lot into this bill that has to be maybe even worked out yet till before we get it finalized and cross the line.
What might be a sticking point?
Right now is the wage on one part of it, and then the technology has some issues, especially in the road building end of it. Over in Fox Valley, there's a, you know, who actually authorizes the apprenticeship. So those things that we're still working out. We're close. We'll see what happens.
We're talking about legislative priorities with Representative Lauren Oldenburg, Republican from Viroqua. You can join in questions and comments along the way. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We're going to turn to farm preservation. You're the author of a bill recently signed by Governor Evers that updates the Farmland Preservation Program. And you've said you've been perfecting this legislation over 5 years. Why did this program need to be updated?
Well, they did a study in 2016, 2017 that found out that landowners and farmers were not getting signing up to do farmland preservation because they didn't think it was worth their time. And so we went after one of the biggest incentives was we were not getting enough money for the tax credits to do the work. And so they decided not to do it. So we raised the tax credits for to get more and more dollars back into the landowner that actually does farmland preservation. And the idea, yeah, it costs money, you know, $6 million and $5 million here for the next 2 years to just do the cost for just increasing the tax credit. But the idea is get more and more landowners to sign up and do this farmland preservation, because I think that's the ultimate goal here is to, like I said before, keep the soil on the land and keep the water on the upper lands. And I think farmland preservation is a great start and keeps the waters cleaner, keeps the phosphorus runoff from the farms to a minimum. So that's the idea behind this. And so I finally got it through after the third time, just because I think this is the right timing because of the cost of it and for where we're at financially in the state of Wisconsin.
Is there, do you think, as you talk with your constituents, especially in farming, do you think there is a pull for farmers to sell their land to developers instead of keeping it in production?
I don't see that.
Okay.
I mean, I say maybe it could be around the bigger cities, you know, would drive that. But I think there is a good appetite for farmland out here if just to be continue to farm.
The Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation says the state is experiencing less interest in the program in recent years, as you mentioned. How else could lawmakers grow interest in the voluntary program?
There's one part of the bill that got taken out, and originally that was using DAC caps. Some extra dollars that they have is to help local counties to maybe put a part-time individual in place to actually help farmers and landowners to implement farmland preservation. And I would love to see that. Hopefully, next legislation, if I'm back down there, to actually maybe try to put a bill and put that to through the legislation process and the governor's desk to actually put a grant program out for local county land conservation officers that they can hire someone, maybe three or two or three counties can go together and hire a full-time person to actually go out and help the landowners to get in farmland preservation.
Do you find that it is an issue that farmers might not have time to do a program like this unless there is outside help?
I see that's probably the biggest hiccup. Because they've never done it before. Every 4 years, you have to re-up, but you got a soil test every 4 years. And soil test, no matter if you're in this program or not, I think it's a great tool for farmers that need to be used. And I think that is probably the time. You know, these farmers have gotten bigger, bigger, run more land. I think you need someone out there that has the expertise that can run a computer quickly and put all the information into the program. I think that would be to help to increase the acreage for farmland preservation.
Representative Oldenburg, thank you for joining us.
Anytime, I'm glad to be able to do this and inform your listeners.
Representative Lauren Oldenburg is a Republican from Viroqua, representing the 96th District, elected to the Assembly in 2018. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.